location where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
A cheerful austerity. We hear a lot about austerity nowadays, so what of its opposite, prosperity? As the ultimate aim of these troubled times and the route to happiness for all, it should be scrutinised rather more closely. If prosperity was such a panacea in the past, how did it lead to our financial woes? Prosperity is a dream that we are offered in times of economic need, a shining prize of economic plenty to be earned by years of deprivation and disadvantage. The pattern of boom and bust has been with us for decades, so the answer is never long term. In living memory, from the vantage point of 2013, a series of cycles springs to mind. The boom years, for many, of the 1960s, when jobs were aplenty and London swinging, followed by the dip of the 1970s with industrial trouble and strife. Contrast this to the aspiring years under Margaret Thatcher's government, with the coining of the term yuppie and a resultant housing boom, inflating prices beyond the reach of many. This ended with the crash of 1991, when Britain scrambled to join the European exchange rate mechanism after the ousting of Mrs. Thatcher, who had rejected the lure of a federal Europe. Another time of high unemployment followed during the 1990s, when many of the disillusioned young turned to environmental and social protests before the election of the new Labour government under Tony Blair in 1997. "It can only get better," proclaimed their anthem, hinting at prosperity for all. However, the manner of its delivery would differ throughout society. Some gained, allegedly, through rising house prices, though causing housing problems for the lower paid. Intense programmes were started to chase the unemployed, whose free time, under the Conservatives, had often been used to campaign for progressive ideals. The climate of public opinion thus formed had led, ironically, to the election of New Labour. Concurrently, a new boom era began, encouraged by money from the Millennium Commission to create attractions and designate new cities for the coming of the year 2000. It was a bubble of idolatry for money and the stature it supposedly brought. Those who had thought the home repossessions of the early 1990s had been harsh lessons in the follies of casino economics were found wrong. The lessons should have been heeded, but the hedonistic rush of a new era brushed them aside. As with so many moments in history, the very shock of the new and freshness of the now sidelined the wisdom of experience, even of just a decade before. The zeal for the new era required a rejection of such concerns and notions of acquired wisdom. Age, of course, was not trendy. New Labour danced for a while, even as fires burned in foreign wars, until the so-called credit crunch of 2008 caused its timely economic downfall. By then ensconced in the job of Prime Minister, Gordon Brown's claim to have ended the era of boom and bust was itself broken, and he gave way to the strangely occult unison of Conservative and Liberal in a form known as the Coalition. Occult because its exact workings and mutual promises cannot be known. The figure of Liberal Democrat leader Nick Clegg fawned for popularity, yet compromised ideals at every turn, stirring the decent if wavering tradition of liberalism into a soup of blue and yellow. This general state of society and mode of existence has been christened austerity, which, like prosperity, is a noun to describe a state of being, but has a variant adjective to describe its condition. Under prosperity, we are prosperous. Under austerity, we become austere. However, society urges us to behave in a contradictory way.
Happy, happy grinning is something that the media and society encourage.
We must accept our downfall, but be compliant within it. In extreme cases, this can lead to a neurotic obsession with excessive politeness, fawning and smiling in place of any real expression of emotion. Such characters may be called the grinners or laughing jackasses, according to some. The happy syndrome infects figures like Clegg or US President Barack Obama, who grin excessively while holding weighty jobs. Those trying to find lowly positions within a recessed economy are equally asked to smile by the job ads. They must have passionate approaches to work, however mundane the role. Applicants may need bubbly personalities, as if taking part in a comedy show, they are forced to alter behaviour to embrace its demonstrative characteristics while doing things in which they may be quite uninterested. This condition relates to the term well-being, which is peppered throughout documents regarding the general good of society, but without any specific meaning. In today's economic climate, with this imposed agenda of austerity, being happy is meant to mean having less, while, paradoxically, the government forever stresses the need for economic growth. Projects such as new road schemes through the countryside or the hydraulic fracturing of rock to obtain shale gas have no sense of restraint in their demands on the land. Austerity is only imposed on the population who live under the system, and not on their ambitions of the system's chosen works. While excessive consumption is not good for the environment, the answer is not to make poverty fashionable in order to retain existing power structures and vested interests.
The information where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.